Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 10th of July, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, World War II in Poland, Part 2. And our guest today will be Phil from Tennessee. I'm sorry, Tampa. And he'll join us in just a minute. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. We have a new website for those who wish to help us out financially. The website is www.pastordan.net. If you have a comment, question, or constructive criticism, the email address is bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And again, we thank our listeners and supporters who are allowing us this opportunity to share Yahweh's truth with them, especially in these perilous days. A couple quick quotes. Again, we want to keep these in your mind continually because they are so appropriate for the times that we live in. Thomas Jefferson said that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Thomas Paine had this to say, the strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance. Our fear to resist the beast gives the beast power. Conversely, lose the fear and the beast will lose its hold over you. Remember, unity is an action, not a word. Remember what Father said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay, at this time I'd like to welcome Phil from Tampa back onto the program. Professor Phil, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm doing great, despite the very interesting things that occurred since our last discussion.
There's a whole lot going on, and we also, again, apologize. The reason we're doing a two-part series here is because of the technical difficulties on Wednesday night when we were sort of unceremoniously disconnected from the host broadcasting server. And so we'll do part two, Phil, but we want to leave enough time to discuss current events as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I thought tonight I would, or this morning, I'd read to you from a book called The Ruling Elite by Deanna Spingola. You can go on her website, spingola.com, that's S-P-I-N-G-O-L-A, .com, and she has a series of books on who's actually pulling the, you know, pulling the strings on things, and in one of her books on is on the Second World War called Death, Destruction, and Domination. The Ruling Elite, and as I alluded to at the end of my part one, that the United States under the FDR administration had began to orchestrate the planned to orchestrate the war in Europe. You need to understand that that Poland had suffered severely under the Jews, and just like we are today, and just like the whole world is. And I'd like to read to you regarding the immigration policy towards the United States. The Polish government thought that the United States should accept the Jewish and other minorities who are not particularly interested in assimilation there or anywhere else. The corrupt Roosevelt administration was open to immigration and to foreigners who were not interested in integrating into the country. Unassimilated aliens were long committed the majority of crimes in America, as we can see today. The criminals include the lawbreakers themselves and the lawyers who defended them in the courts. Let's see. The Poles had granted permission for 350,000 Jews to leave their country. However, Poland would not give 180,000 Poles permission to immigrate. The minister said that America was a great country and that if it should accept Poles Jews, it would solve one of Poland's most pressing problems. Poland refused to issue exit visas to the Poles, and the minister responded that Poland had decided to prevent Polish immigration to swell the Polish majority in the country. And Poland, in 500 years, had not been able to assimilate its Polish population. America could not perform the same feat. The Poles, at the same time in Poland, a country of about 3.5 million economically and politically cohesive Jewish residents, Jews in Vilna were coordinating an anti-Nazi boycott against Germany. By 1923, Vilna population was 70% Jewish, so they had a great deal of power. In Poland, Jews monopolized journalism, especially from 1921 to 1933. Jews represented an almost the entire German press. Donald Day wrote, "The Jewish journalists representing the German press and those employed in the Jewish and Polish press in Poland did much to promote dissension and mistrust between Poland and Germany. They had no love for either Germany or Poland, and their chief aim was to promote the interests of the Jewish minority in both countries. The press can influence governments to accommodate the international Jewish agenda. By the early 1900s, Jews referred to the great power of the press in which they could secretly control public opinion, which they claimed was already entirely in their hands, with few exceptions. Vilna Jews with media control attracted the support of non-Jews by incorporating the Polish corridor issue. The Vilna Jews held an anti-Nazi boycott in March 20th, 1933, implying that Hitler had indicated he might occupy the corridor to gain access to Danzig to move the Poles unequivocally rejected. There was widespread rumors of a preemptive military strike by Poland against Germany. Poland's highly publicized boycott was among the strongest Jewish actions against Germany. Polish Jews conducted massive media operations to alter public opinion and to offer assistance to German Jews who had sought refuge in Poland. By early April 1933, the German Zionist delegation in London abandoned the idea of participating in an anti-German boycott movement, but decided to continue its Zionist activities in Germany. On March 31st, 1939, in response to Hitler's alleged defiance of the Munich Pact and their occupation of Czechoslovakia, Chamberlain, after negotiating with the French, announced their guarantee to Poland. It stated, quote, "In the event of any action which clearly threatened Polish independence, which the Polish government accordingly considered it vital to resist with their national forces." On July 10th, Chamberlain said that the guarantee would also apply to Danzig. Chamberlain's announcement functioned as a green light for Poland. It also eliminated the potential for Germany and Poland to negotiate their differences. Moreover, the Anglo-Polish Treaty of August 25th promised direct or indirect military assistance between the nations in case another European nation attacked Poland. It also promised Polish independence. On April 9th, 1939, Billet, he was the special envoy of the United States in Europe, sent a telegram to Roosevelt regarding his discussion with Ambassador Lucewicz, wherein he explained that American law, especially the Johnson Act, prevented Roosevelt from furnishing direct financial assistance. However, the United States might be able to furnish war planes through Britain. In addition to planes, the ambassador was seeking financial assistance from the United States. Bullitt proposed that it might be feasible for Britain to buy planes from the Americans and then relinquish them to Poland. On April 15th, Roosevelt sent a telegram to Adolf Hitler accusing Germany of being aggressive and demanding assurances of non-aggression. As a result of this telegram, Hitler decided to call a special session of the Reichstag scheduled on April 28th, which they would broadcast not only in Germany, but also with relayed broadcasts throughout the world in an effort to avoid an eruption of warfare in Europe. German consulates in the United States and elsewhere translated and distributed the speech so that everyone could access and read it. at least German officials thought that most people would have access, possibly just as they thought their purchase out of the New York Times and their warning of the sinking of the Lusitania would that people traveling in Lusitania would be at risk. The Times had published the warning too late and probably in small print, hidden away in a seldom read page. Hitler, in that historic address, said regarding the Versailles Treaty, quote, that politics should be controlled by men who had not fought in the war was recognized for the first time as a misfortune. Hatred was unknown to the soldiers, but not to those elderly politicians who had carefully preserved their own precious lives from the horrors of war and who now descended upon humanity as in the guise of insane spirits of revenge, Hitler continued. No one knows this, the burden of Versailles, better than the German people, but a peace treaty imposed burdens on the German people, which could not have been paid off in 100 years, although American teachers of constitutional law, historians, and history professors that Germany have provoked conclusively that Germany was no more to blame for the outbreak of the war than any other nation. Hitler said the following about the Munich conference. If the cry of never another Munich is raised in the world today, this simply confirms the fact that the peaceful solution to the problem appeared to be the most awkward thing that ever happened in the eyes of those wrongdoers. They are sorry no blood was shed, not their blood, not to be sure, but those agitators are, of course, never to be found where shots are being fired, but only where money is being made. No, it is the blood of many nameless soldiers, unquote. Hitler continued, they hate us Germans and would prefer to eradicate us completely. What do the Czechs mean to them? They are nothing but a means to an end. And what do they care for the fate of a small and valiant nation? Why should they worry about the lives of hundreds of thousands of brave soldiers who would have been sacrificed for this policy? These Western peacemongers are not concerned to work for peace, but to cause bloodshed. So in this way, to set the nations against one another and to thus cause still more blood to flow, for this reason, they invented the story of German mobilization. Ward Price interviewed Hitler, who said on August 4th, quote, on August 4th, 1914, I was very distressed that the two great Germanic peoples who had lived at peace with one another throughout all the disputes and fluctuations in human history for so many centuries were drawn into war. That's the United States, or Germany and Britain, of course. I would be pleased if this unfortunate atmosphere would finally come to an end and the two related nations would rediscover their old friendship. The assertion that the German people are enthusiastically prepared for war is a misunderstanding of the German Revolution. We find it simply incomprehensible. We leaders of the German nation had almost without exception been frontline soldiers. I would like to see the frontline soldier who wants to prepare for another war, unquote. Now, here's what people I want to discuss about the non-aggression pact. Hitler welcomed some kind of pact with the Soviets in order to avoid war with them because he needed the grain from the Ukraine, and also he wanted to bring the Poles back to the negotiating table. On August 19th, 1938, the Politburo, the Central Committee, held a secret meeting which they included members of the Communist International. Stalin, in his speech, said, quote, if we accept the German proposal for the conclusion of a non-aggression pact with them, they would naturally attack Poland, and the intervention of France and England in this war would be inevitable, unquote. The ensuing serious unrest and disorder would destabilize Western Europe without the Soviets initially being drawn into the conflict. As he had explained in 1925 in this way, we can hope for an advantageous entry into the war. In Stalin's view, this was the perfect circumstance for a world revolution and the Sovietization of Europe and Bolshevik domination. He concluded, comrades, in the interests of the USSR, the homeland of the workers, get busy and work so that war may break out between the Reich and the capitalistic Anglo-French bloc, unquote. Let's see. On August 31st, first Molotov, that's the Soviet foreign minister, responsible for the Soviets' foreign policy, said, a single blow against Poland, first by the Germans and then by the Red Army, and nothing remained of this misbegotten child of the Versailles Treaty, which owed its existence to the expression or the repression of non-Polish nationalities. Stalin wanted to eliminate Poland and tear away the other countries that provided a protective buffer against the rest of Europe. Therefore, he waged war against Poland and Finland and threatened warfare against Romania and then forcibly annexed Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. With a Molotov-Ribbentrop pact, Stalin suddenly granted Hitler permission to retrieve the territory taken after World War I. The Soviets early referred to Hitler as the icebreaker of the revolution, that's in quotes. The communists recognized the warfare, that warfare would weaken Europe, exactly what they desired, but they did not want to initiate that warfare. Instead, they manipulated other people and events to guarantee warfare and render Europe vulnerable to communism. Hitler, the icebreaker, unaware that the communists were using him, predictably opened the way for world communism, the very philosophy that he despised. Polish leaders constantly provoked and initiated any crisis in every conceivable sphere, whether in their foreign relations, their collaboration with France, the treatment of the minorities, or in their propaganda operations on radio and elsewhere. They were especially intent on discriminatory actions against the Germans, and William C. Billet, FDR's European operative, urged Polish authorities to harass Danzig's Germans to ignite a reaction from Hitler. Poland engaged in frequent border violations and was on standby for attack against Germany. Polish military units competed to see who could demolish and or confiscate Wehrmacht equipment just across the German border. Officials warned Ambassador Joseph Lipsky not to negotiate. Now, I would like to point out that there's you'll often hear on websites, like if you listen to Alex Jones, they'll talk about the Operation Himmler, which had no basis in truth. It was basically a story that had been made up. The Poles actually did attack a radio station, but it was never actually used as a precursor to attacking Germany. It was never mentioned except in passing. It never became an issue till well after the war. Now, Poland had previously functioned as a Jewish refugee, as a refuge in Europe. However, because of the expulsion of the Jews from Russia and the enforcement of the May Laws of 1882, many Jews relocated to Poland. In addition, in 1882, the first anti-Jewish Congress, a movement of self-protection, convened in Dresden on September 11th and 12th, 1882, attended by delegates from all over Europe. Consequently, anti-Semitic feelings erupted in Poland, especially after the 1905 Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. In 1912, the Polish National Democratic Party nominated an anti-Semite to represent Warsaw in the Russian Duma. However, the Jews, who controlled the media, voted for a Polish socialist and won the election. The losing party then began an aggressive anti-Semitic campaign. The Jews in New York had to intervene because if Poland, with the highest concentration of Jews in Europe, suppressed Jewish behavior, then all of Europe would follow Poland's example. Wish they'd do that now. Morgenthau and his commission wanted the Jews in Poland to secure the same socioeconomic opportunities they had enjoyed elsewhere. Officials then drafted a new constitution that was compatible with Poland's special treaty with the Allies, in which the country verified the support of minority rights. They would allow the Jews to engage in business and be viewed with respect and as assets of the country. The Jews in America and elsewhere had an interest in their well-being and wished to cooperate in solving the cultural inequality, although it might take one or two generations to accomplish. There were 3,351,000 Jews in Poland in 1939. Throughout Poland, there were about 108 Jews for every 1,000 non-Jews. By 1931, nearly 90% of all Jews residing in Poland lived in urban areas. In some towns, the Jews composed as much as 63% of the population, while most were between 30 and 49%. According to 1931 census, there was not one town in eastern Poland in which Jews made up less than 25% of the population. During the 1930s, with the declining economic situation, angry, resentful Polish citizens regularly coordinated violent campaigns to force the Jews out of the economy. The Polish courts, the Catholic Church, and central government approved and or permitted the boycotts of Jewish stores as well as other such instances. This led to immigration, especially by young Jews who would have stayed in the country and their families. By early 1932, to when Germany invaded due to immigration, the Jewish population in Poland was about 2,664,000. Polish records indicate that 31,216 Polish Jews soldiers died in the German-Polish War. By October 6, 1939, the war's end, the number of Jews in Poland would be 2,633,000. That the Anglo-American Committee inflated the figure to 3,351,000. Thousands of Jews immigrated from Poland to Germany as Polish citizens retaliated against them. Jews preferred to live under Hitler, even with the anti-Jewish Nuremberg laws of 1935. In July 1937, Albert Alien wrote in an article, Polish Pogroms for the Flight. He said, "In no country has anti-Semitism been so sustained and devastating as in Poland." The Germans under Polish jurisdiction were particularly vulnerable, as some of the Poles apparently had a seething hatred against Germans, demonstrated by the Polish hymn against Germans, which dated from the 1848 revolution, which radical Polish individuals were demanding greater autonomy under the Austro-Hungarian Empire. An old German proverb said, translates, as long as the world will exist, the Pole will never be the German's brother. But under our certain circumstances, they're going to have to be, otherwise we will not be able to defeat this enemy that we're facing right now. By September 1931, some Polish officials admitted that they had driven out more than 1 million Germans out of the country. Yet the League of Nations remained silent and immobile. Poland's German minority and the Soviet Ukrainian minority, many of whom were Volga Germans, were under the treaty's protection. Both groups repeatedly appealed for protection but continued to suffer massive abuses under oppressive, hostile governments without any assistance or relief. The Poles herded Germans together by the thousands and force-marched them 25 to 30 miles per day into Poland's interior. The victims included women, children, old men, and women as old as 83. They also targeted influential people in the communities, professors, church leaders, and others. They tied them together in twos. Many of them were barefoot or still in their nightclothes, as the Polish officials had dragged them from their beds. The Poles gathered the ethnic Germans from the towns of Bromberg, Posen, Lissen, Graz, Schroda, Schrema, Obernik, and Wolstein. The Polish guards beat, cursed, and stabbed them with their bayonets. The Germans suffered hunger and thirst. Their feet were bleeding and festering. Many were ill and burning with fever. Their destination was eastward to the infamous Brzezek Kruszwica, the former Tsarist prison in Brzezek Kruszwica, as a detention center authorized for use on July 12, 1934. Now Billet, he's the special envoy of FDR. He's also a CFR member, a Yale graduate, a member of the Scroll and Key. Was with Woodrow Wilson at his Paris Peace Conference, where he first advocated America's recognition of the Soviet Union. After he had personally visited with Lenin when he was in Russia. In addition to other affiliations, Billet was a Pilgrim Society member. Billet, whose mother was Jewish, resigned from the State Department during Wilson's presidency because Wilson failed to recognize the Soviet Union. Roosevelt appointed Billet as the first U.S. ambassador to the Soviet Union, and then as ambassador to France. He was FDR's operative in Europe and talked almost daily with him by phone. He urged Polish authorities to harass Danzig's Germans in order to incite a reaction from Hitler, something that Stalin also desired. After all, Hitler responded when Czech officials threatened military force against the Sudeten Germans. Billet promised that Poles, that if they could provoke a German attack, that Britain and France would come to their rescue. On November 7th, 1937, FDR told French officials that he wanted to depose Hitler, but other Americans disagreed. Germany was unsuccessful in their continued attempts to improve a relationship with Poland. Polish authorities, not in control of their own country, voided and violated every provision in the German-Polish Pact, which eventually breached the basic principles regulating the protection of minorities according to the reciprocal minority agreement that Poland had signed on November 5th. Undersecretary of State Sumner Wells, in talking with Bataki from Poland, applauded the Polish treatment of the Jews versus the alleged German treatment of them, even though Polish policies were much harsher. Bataki knew that the Jewish problem in Poland was a very real problem. The U.S. government fabricated the entire Jewish persecution issue in order to advocate a dispute against Germany for any conceivable reason. Poland also eyed their other neighbors as targets. It's absolutely appalling about what had occurred and how the United States had just orchestrated this whole madness.
Well, let me ask you a question, Phil. How does that relate to today?
How does it relate to today? Because if you look at what's happening today, if you look at the Black Lives Matter riots, as I was trying to state that the United States has become Poland, we are being pushed in every different conceivable direction by the Jewish media. We have gender warfare. You have the Black Lives Matter issue where you're having race riots. This is the kind of fomenting hate that they were doing in Poland. And I find it really ironic. The irony of ironies is that Thursday you had this shooting of these police officers. Whether it happened or not is another issue. But then our sodomite in chief gives his response from none other than Warsaw, Poland, at the NATO summit. And I've heard suggestions by some theorists that there's going to be an allegiance between France, Germany, and Poland, the ruler of Europe will come out of Poland and it'll be Jewish. I don't know whether or not that's true or not, but you can see how the media manipulates things. I remember yesterday I watched this Obama's press conference, and the media was just absolutely, you could tell that they were looking at him and going, what kind of a man, this guy is a moron. He's saying we need to figure out what it is that is manipulating, is motivating these, you know, this shooting. And even though the guy had admitted it, said outright he wanted to kill white people, so it's directly in your face. And the way they use the prostitutes to manipulate the public, they'll do pretty much anything. And you're having sensationalism is the key to, in order to get ratings. And when you do these press conferences, they're all staged. The questions are always asked. And one of the things I noticed was that they showed that he only answered a few questions. There's this black lady there, a reporter, and she sits there and she asks, what do you think about your legacy as president? And he just rambles on. It's not my issue. It's for historians. And the camera goes on to her, and she's sitting there going, yes, yes, oh yeah. She's nodding her head in agreement. Just like if you go to any kind of a a Judeo-Christian church where the preacher will get up there and start rambling. No matter what he says, they'll agree with him. And so it's just a matter of that he's a black person, that they'll agree with him just because of who he is, not for what he says. And then right after that, they had a reporter. The very next question was from an absolutely stunningly beautiful blonde Adamic Israelite woman. She could easily have been a model. She got up there and says, "What do you say to the Americans about how much fear they feel? You know, about what's going on in America with all this violence." And so that you can see that there's this manipulation of thought and the symbolism is so in your face. So it's anyone who has a mind to see what's going on, you can't help but notice it. Hillary, I mean, the timing with Hillary is just amazing, because she she had this email scandal, which she got out of, at least initially, I guess, so far. But from what I understand, this has nothing to do with the email situation, and it doesn't really make sense, simple emails. What I understand is that it has to do with the Clinton Foundation, and at the Clinton Foundation, she was basically selling secrets and making huge amounts of money, and there's a lot of bribery and everything involved, and you have the Clintons with a body count that's more than Al Capone and Al Capone had ever done, and there's no ramifications for that. So this is what is happening with the United States. The United States is being moved into a position of, you know, we're embracing everything that is self-destructive to our society. We're
embracing everything that's part of the Jewish agenda, even the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, all the different items that are addressed in that document. We've pretty much fallen in line and accepted it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every single one of them. Every single one of them.
So what's the common denominator? The common denominator, then, of all of the intrigue, lies, deceptions, prodding, propaganda that was going on in Europe, specifically Germany and Poland, etc. Now, back then, now you fast forward to today, is not the common denominator the Jews?
It is. Oh, yeah, it is. And, you know, the war was about liberation, you know, the war had became a European war to liberate Poland, but yet it did exactly the opposite, you know. And the two countries that suffered the most were Germany and Poland. And the media promotes this idea of there's a Polish quarter, when it wasn't a Polish quarter at all. It was they do this in order to argue against borders. The Jewish press is totally in control. Ironically, I'm right here I was going to discuss about the invasion, and I wanted to say that after Hitler had went into Poland, Walter Cronkite, as you all know who he is, of CBS Radio, reported Hitler rose in the Reichstag to boast of his defeat over the defenseless people. Cronkite, a proponent of world government, referred to the Polish as defenseless, yet they were neither peace-loving nor defenseless. On September 3rd, Polish terrorists perpetrated the Bromberg massacre, in which they tortured and murdered 5,500 Germans, a massive crime that officials concealed at Nuremberg. The worst atrocities perpetrated against the Germans took place between August 31st and September 6th, and reached the height of sadism on Bloody Sunday in Bromberg, and culminated on about September 17th, 18th, when German troops liberated the area and found that there were, you know, thousands of dead. The murderous thugs had herded the Germans together and took them an isolated place to kill them. You don't hear about that. You know, it's just like what you have in Europe. You have massive amounts of rape. You have violence that's going on in Paris. I just saw a video today on YouTube of the same black, you know, Turk, anti non-white peoples literally taking over parts of Paris. They're shooting cops. They're destroying homes. They're taking it over for themselves, and you don't hear about this in the media. It's a crime of silence. And this is the same thing that was going on in Europe in the 30s, and it's going on today. Our military is being decimated from the morale in the military is just horrible, and you have a president who's the chief executive officer who is obfuscating. He wants to feel what the other side is feeling. He's not. And Hillary is saying, hey, we need, speak up. She's basically, egging them on, saying, come on, make more violence. Let's hear more. We want to hear what you have to say. And so you have this, they're playing both sides of the coin. You have a mixed race mongrel, as your president, who's certainly a pervert, and he has confused religious views, and he's playing every group against another. It says in scripture that you're supposed to, you're not supposed to have, you have two masters, you can't have two masters. And he probably has the dozen that he's trying to support. And just like we hear with Poland, for instance, if Poland, they're saying that Poland is sweet little innocent and they have no risk, and that's what they're doing with the Muslims and with these immigrants. They're saying, they're just sweet little victims. The Polish military, Poland's army had 1.7 million trained men and 37 cavalry units. They had a modern navy with 5 submarines, 4 destroyers, and 6 minesweepers suitable for the Baltic Sea. They also had an air fleet of almost 1,000 planes, including a long-range bomber. One of their planes had a speed that was 40 miles faster than Germany's top medium-sized bomber. The Poles shot down 285 German aircraft and killed 40,000 German soldiers during the relatively short invasion. While Germany had more weaponry, they were withholding it to use on the Western Front. On September 7th, Poland shot down 15 German planes, as they had an amazing early warning system. Germany only managed to destroy 30 Polish planes, as they had carefully concealed them all over the country. You don't hear about this kind of, you think that Poland is some backward nation that can't do anything. And the threat of what's happening in the black community in this nation, and the death toll that they're inflicting upon white society is exactly the same thing. We're just insulting a different group of people. We're not insulting, they're not the same people, obviously. The Poles are definitely not the blacks, but they're doing things and the atrocities that they're committing are being silenced in the press. And that's what's happening. I don't really care whether or not the shooting in Dallas was a false flag or not. It doesn't really matter to me. What matters to me is that people are reacting to it. The people that as far as the press is concerned, it is a real event, and that is what matters. What the press tells you is what matters in this country. And critical thinking has gone out the door.
Right. What matters is how events are used by the press and the handlers of the press. The press is not independent in this country.
No.
I don't believe it's been independent for a very long time. So the prostitutes of the press are used to take events, whether they're staged or not, and they are used, the press is then used as a tool of propaganda to manipulate public opinion, which is exactly what happens, because they know the sheep. Without a shepherd, the sheep will pretty much follow whatever these talking heads on TV and the media tell them. Ergo, we know that the biggest problem underlying all of the unrest and turmoil that's in this world is the satanic Jew. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is that Yahweh's people are the ones that make a difference. That's why the Jew hates the white race, and especially the white man, because he represents Jacob Israel. And the saving or the restoring of order in this world will come through Jacob. And so they hate the white man and will do everything they can to destroy him. So, but the problem with the white people is, I believe in white supremacy in the sense that whites are the supreme idiots of the world. Today whites are supremely stupid because they can't even fathom the basic instincts that God gave to an animal. In the animal kingdom, you protect your own and you stay within your own species. White people have forgotten that very basic instinct of survival. So here's the problem I have, and see if you agree. White people were called sheep. That's what our Heavenly Father called us, sheep, because we're pretty much just like sheep out in a pasture field. We are supposed to, as sheep, pick a shepherd that will watch over us and protect us. And what the sheep have done today, instead of picking a proper shepherd, they are following these Judeo-Christian prostitutes and allowing them to dumb them down and basically neuter them instead of going for real leaders teaching the truth, which is the identity message, of course. And instead of choosing that, they choose the lies and the feel-good messages of these prostitutes behind the pulpit. So
I agree.
Would you agree then that these false teachers, these prostitute preachers, are a very large part of our problem?
Absolutely. I think that what's happening today is that the American Revolution has been toppled. There's no today's American Revolution is over, and the Jew is trying to replace that with a version of the French Revolution. In the American Revolution, we got our independence from the French, from the Britain, and if you ever read Alexis de Tocqueville's famous work, Democracy in America, he'll tell you that the reason why there was still order within a nation that had so much freedom given to it by the Constitution is because the people had attended church. And at that time, the church was still preaching. It was still speaking of the law and the fear of God and of the blessings of following the law and the curses of not following his law, and that the churches were segregated, and they were all Adamic, they were all unified, and regardless of which denomination there were, and so this kept a cap on society. But the French Revolution, that flipped and put man above God rather than God above man. They killed off the king because of the divine right of kings. You have a great terror in which you have the Jew Robespierre, who kills off thousands of people in France and for the sake of liberté, equalité, and fraternité. And then after the guillotine gets him, you have to France has to have a leader to defend it, and they get a guy from Corsica who is French, but yet he's not part of the continent, and he's a little bit different. And he's referred to as Bonaparte, and in England they used to tell their children, "You better be good, or Boney's going to come and get you," because it was a godless revolution, and so what we have today is we have a revolution in America that is taking that liberté, equalité, and fraternité, and giving it to everyone but the white man. They're giving special rights to them, you know, that if you're homosexual, you get special rights, and on and on, you know, if you're a minority, and everything. And so, but in a time of the 18th and early 19th century, that equality was not going to topple Europe because it was all entirely white. And, but here you're having that same revolution going in a destructive manner rather than giving any kind of preserving of European culture. That's what's happening in this, in our society. And that's how I see it. And that's a very scary thing of what's happening. And we have to get back to be able to preserve, to be our own, be with our own people. And the good thing about what we're seeing on television and everything with this insanity, with these riots, that they're violating, everything that they're doing is completely unconstitutional. You're allowed to peacefully assemble, but you're not allowed to block traffic or throw fireworks or, rocks and everything and tell people they want to kill cops. And the press, as they were talking about the press, we have the prostitutes. Well, everyone in this country seems to want to be a member of the press. They're using their phone. One of the persons that was, one of the supposed victims that the riots are over, the woman that was with her, she didn't even help the guy. She just took her phone and started filming the whole incident so she could be famous. It's ridiculous. And this is what we're facing in America. This is a major thing. And I'll tell you, the worse things get, the more I absolutely love my people. And they are waking up. They are waking up to the reality of the situation. Although there are a lot of people that are in denial because they don't want to accept the fact that they've been lied to for so long. Mark Twain said, it's much easier to tell the most atrocious lies over and over again than to convince someone just once that they've been lied to.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. Well, our people have to come back to their roots. We got to come back to basics. The Jews and their control over media, education, etc., the publishing houses have taken the doctrines of devils. They've convinced the clergy within the false church, which is the Judeo-Christian church, to teach these doctrines of devils, which basically dehorns the white race, neuters the white race in a sense. And we need to get back to just pure sanity based on Yahweh's word, of course, where race matters. I mean, it's really, really quite simple. All through history, all through what's called logic, nature's God, everything points to a very simple truth. Race matters. Race has always mattered. And when you violate the rules of nature and nature's God, Yahweh, you will have nothing but chaos and trouble, which is what America's proving. You cannot be a melting pot of cultures, a melting pot of races. It does not exist. It never has existed. It cannot exist. It defies all logic. It defies even the definition of the word nation. It's homogeneousness that makes a nation strong, not diversity. So again, the Jew lies. And again, in this day and age, everything that is good is called evil and evil is called good, meaning everything's backwards. It's backwards because Satan's kids have gained the upper hand in the financial world and in the world of media, and everything they do is ass backwards. So it's white people got to just shake their heads and come back to a common sense point, to where they can think again, to where they can realize the simple basic truths and hang on to those truths as we go through this turbulent time. Because Yahweh said that we will be the overcomers, and as it was in the days of Noah, there is a sanctuary for his people. Whether it's a wooden ship in the days of Noah or it takes other forms today, the true believers, the true whites who believe in Yahweh and follow his law, there is a sanctuary prepared for them. They will come through this. Unfortunately, we're going to lose a lot of white people because they're just brain dead. They are zombies. They're spiritually dead individuals. And really, why would we want them to come into the kingdom? I mean, some people say that sounds barbaric or heartless, but I would remind the people that's what the prophets told us, those are the words right out of Scripture. So if you think they're cold and heartless, take it up with the author of the Bible and not me. He said we're going to lose two-thirds of our people. If you take a look at the white race today, would you not agree, Phil, that about two-thirds, at least two-thirds, are pretty much spiritual zombies, and they're either not helping solve the problem or they're actually part of the problem?
I would have to agree with that. That's probably a rather optimistic number, yeah. But I'll tell you, though, those that are awake, I can tell they're awake. I know them. I mean, it's almost like I have, I have special vision. I can see them, almost right away. And I can say that, and especially those, that I've met through the identity movement and everything. I remember, just to illustrate the insanity of everything, I saw recently a video of the Nordic Resistance marching I think it was in Norway or Sweden. And they were marching, and there was a lesbian woman waving this gigantic rainbow flag on it. It said, "We love our refugees." And it has the sign of the peace sign that you see the hippies wear everywhere. Well, most people don't know where that comes from, and I'd like to let the listener know where that comes from. That isn't actually a Nordic rune. That symbol is of femininity, and of course the opposite is the male symbol if it's turned upright. But when it has a circle around it, like you see, that's insanity. That means there's no common sense. There's no right. Men are excluded from the picture, that's what it actually means, is total insanity. And so we have this effeminization of society. You have Jesus that is this effeminate male hippie type. He can't fight, he can't do anything, and no one would ever want to have anything to do with him in the first place. He's not going to stand up for anything, no one in his right mind would want to stand up for a character like that. But he's not. He's a soldier. He tells his apostles to get swords. He's not some love everybody and everything. And that's what we're facing. It's really a wake up call. And the more they push, Yahweh's natural law is supreme. It will not, no matter how much they try and alter it, no matter how much they try and push this agenda of everything unnatural, there's going to be a pushback. You can only take it so much. And it's one thing to say, okay, you can just laugh at it, but when it's in your face constantly, there's going to be a revolution, and there is a revolution going on. And it's going to be ugly, but it's going to be glorious when we win it all. And we're going to win totally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Father has already predicted it and told us it. The conditions that we see today are a test of our people, a test of our faith. In man's way of looking at things, there's no way we can win. The Jews have the international banking is almost all in their control. They control international press. And they control our government officials. They're basically whores. Some of our top military brass are whores. And so it looks like they've won. Their power of the purse has given them the ability to win. However, we know that is going to crash and burn, which the beginnings of that are already visible. It's a fake, phony Babylonian money system built on nothing of value. And people are waking up. I agree, the Anglo-Saxon or white people are waking up very, very quickly. I've seen it myself. You're correct. Father's identifying the tares, which means it must be getting time to burn up the tares. So he's identifying the tares of our own race and, of course, the other races too. But would you say, Phil, that a lot of these racial groups, you mentioned the Nordic resistance, and there's several groups in Sweden and different places like that. The white males are finally starting to grow back their stones, and take matters into their own hands. Would you agree that if a lot of these racialists, I'm trying to think like Aryan Nations and different groups like that, they've got the racial aspect right, but they don't have the father involved. If they were to hear the identity message and the truths that it teaches, don't you think they would embrace this faith and this message versus the Judeo-Christian version of Christianity?
They would jump at it. Absolutely. They would absolutely jump at it. There was a guy who wrote an article on, he's actually an Odinist. He wrote an article on the whiteresister.com about how he's embraced it because it empowers him. And he embraced that because of, it based upon not in Christianity, because he saw Christianity as being corrupted, by the Jews. And there's so much within Odinism that has, you can tell that it had its foundations in ancient Israel. You just tell it. And if they saw that, the identity message would scream to the rafters. But it can sometimes take a while to try and explain to people about about how everything has been corrupted. It can be kind of challenging, and you don't want to be associated with, when you say you're Israelite, you don't want to have anything to do with that litter box and release. And I think that it's our job as a people, as believers, that it's our time to get out there and get this message on a massive scale. Because once they know it, once they understand it, you'll instantly look at your Bible in an entirely different way. You'll look at your world a different way, and you'll see how you're duped if you realize that the earth is not a spinning ball, but it's flat. You'll see that you've been lied to on every level imaginable. And it's an exciting time our belief system is rising. The Judeo-Christian system is crashing and burning bad. Because no one cares about it. It's a false teaching. It has no substance.
It has no power. It has no power. It's not based on fact. It's based on lies and propaganda. And the Jewish influence is just horrendous within the, quote, Judeo-Christian. And first of all, let's face it. Judeo-Christian is an oxymoron. There is no such thing. Judaism is diametrically opposed to the faith of Christ and the true believers. There is no mixing vinegar and oil. They don't mix. You can stir them around and give the appearance of a mixture, but in the end, no, there is no. The Jews hate the white man. They hate what Christ taught. They murdered Christ. They brag about murdering Christ. And even that Jewish comedian, she bragged that if he were to come back, she would enjoy crucifying him a second time. There is no remorse in these people. They have no conscience. They're of Satan. So people need to wake the hell up to the facts and stop listening to these prostitutes standing behind pulpits pretending to be ministers of the word when all they are is Baal priests, simply expounding what the Jew has told them to say. They get their canned sermons that have been completely bleached of anything that's of substance. So it's meaningless drivel. As you alluded to, they sit in the pews and the sheep sit there nodding their heads as if this guy's expounding some great truths of Yahweh to them, when the guy's just spewing out Jewish propaganda. All men are the same, and God just loves everybody, and he doesn't see color. He only sees that you're men and women, and all this other hogwash, where history doesn't support that. The true scriptures don't support that in the Hebrew and Greek, and even empirical evidence does not support that. So only a brain-dead, totally propagandized moron in this day and age would believe any more of this Jewish garbage.
Yep, I can't agree more. And the way when you said that you know, these pre-canned sermons, I've seen the same thing, the same nonsense. I remember some time ago I heard it one of these. This is years ago. I heard one of these Judeo-Christians say that God, of course he doesn't say the word Yahweh, God is going to blow up the earth, and he bases it on this insanity that the size of Jerusalem that is mentioned, the dimensions that are mentioned in scripture on the size of the New Jerusalem are so big that they will not be able to fit on the dimensions of the round globe earth that we are told exists. So the only way you could have a New Jerusalem is if you blow up the planet.
Yeah, so, yeah, insanity, you know, isn't it? Insanity.
It's insanity. It's you know, and they know it. They it has no substance. And the thing is it about our people intrinsically wish to, our people are builders. We construct things. This is what we do. We see a problem and we solve it, and we're the ones that we want to tend the garden. We are the ones who care about the earth, that, you know, the ecology, the number of animals that are dying off, you know, and everything. The other peoples of the world don't do that. They don't care about any of that stuff. They only care about their own, you know, measly little existence. Now, we have a lot of people in this country, a lot of the white Europeans that do the same thing. But you also have an enormous number of people of our race that really care about saving the planet. They're just they hate themselves more than they do anything else.
Well, Adam was the only person put upon this earth, Adam and his kind, that the Father breathed his spirit into his nostrils. The other races were created. Adam was formed, and the essence of Yahweh was breathed into him. That's why we carry his concerns, his consciousness, his desire for sanity and for prosperity and for reason and just logic, okay? In fact, the word logic comes from the Greek logos, and it was interpreted as the word, but it could have easily been interpreted as the plan. The plan has been with Yahweh from the beginning, not just the word, the plan. And if you think about it, that makes more sense. The Bible's only been in existence a few hundred years. How could the quote, the word, have been with Yahweh from the beginning? How about the plan? This plan is going to play out exactly the way the Creator expects it to play out. It will not play out in any different way. Logos, logic, the plan. And it most certainly will. I want to give a real quick testimony, too. I've been witnessing to an Army veteran who suffered a pretty serious injury, and he was let go of the military, so he's home now. But he is he's had a near-death experience a few years ago, and he and I have been talking, and he told me here recently something I wanted to share with everybody because it's so true. When I met him, we got discussing the identity message versus the, quote, Baptist or Judeo-Christian type messages and all. And he took to it like a duck takes to water. And one of the things he told me here recently, he says, you know, I've been using the Father's name in my prayers and in my talking to other people. He says, I find that I feel better. He's been suffering with some post-traumatic stress syndrome, etc., from his experiences in the Army. But he says, you know, when I pray in Father's name, I've noticed that I feel better. I feel more stable. I feel healthier. I feel more alive. I feel energized. I feel power. And does that not fit with Scripture, Phil?
Oh, it most certainly does. You have your... When you use Yahweh's name and you pray in His name, that name is defined. It is a unique deity. It is not, if you say God or Lord, it's just, it can, well, which one? Okay, which, you know, it's just it has no meaning in it at all. But when you direct it to a specific all empower the creator, the great I am of the universe, there's nothing greater than that. And it's done that for me too. Since I've started doing that, it's really empowered me a lot. And it makes you feel, you know, you feel special and unique, and you feel connected to a greater power that you're not going to get with just having the idea of a concept of a divine being, and not going directly to the actual person, the deity, and having it defined. Your road is narrow, and you can't use a broad name that says just a road. You have to give the name of the road, and that's Yahweh.
Right. And do you find also, as you walk closer to the Father and your relationship with him gets stronger, your eyes open to many new truths? And this young man told me the same thing, that he now sees things so much clearer when he reads the Geneva Bible, and he finds that there's so many more truths in the Geneva Bible versus the King James. You're a double witness to that. And as we walk closer to the Father, do you find that, and I'm finding this from a lot of other people, so I want to see what your take on it is, but do you find that as you walk closer to the Father, you see more truth, you see through the lies and deception, and there are so many of those, but I'm trying to put it into the correct words. It's basically that you find Babylon to be absolutely detestable. I mean, do you find that being amongst the people that we call them liberals, communists, perverts, so we got a whole bunch of names, but they're basically anti-theists, they're atheists. But do you find as you walk closer to the Father, you find Babylon and its trinkets and its lies and its glitz and glitter, do you find it to be more detestable and wanting to get away from it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you really put things in a proper perspective. You see what they have on television and how they'll twist things. I would not get that if I'm one of these sheep to just go about their every day. They don't even they're not even able to think, and they're not delving into the words and the meanings of words and the definitions of words within scripture, and knowing who it is that you're praying to, why you're praying, and the importance of it. If you I noticed, like, for instance, one of the things that I noticed like with this shooting in Dallas, they said over and over, they said this is the worst attack on law enforcement in the United States since 9/11. Well, 9/11 was not an attack on law enforcement. It was an attack on the economic institutions of the United States, you know, and the Pentagon. It's not, you know, which was attack, which was supposedly by a foreign power, even if it was, whether it was orchestrated by Mossad, which it was, or whether you take the official line, it's not an attack on law enforcement. The police that died were just there. This is a direct attack on law enforcement within the country. It's an attack on order, and people will flock to order long before they will ever flock to freedom. That's one thing I learned about with scripture, and that if you have freedom for freedom's sake, you have nothing. You are bankrupt. You have no direction, and you're completely lost. And by studying scripture, by studying his law and how it applies, and how those who follow it are blessed, and those who don't follow it end up having bad things happen to them and the ones they love. It opens up my eyes and makes me see things that I normally would never have seen before.
Amen. Amen to that. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, we know we're in the time when Yahweh said all the things that have been hidden from us are becoming known. You mentioned the globe or the spinning ball versus what the Bible teaches, which is the flat. But everything, we're finding out the medical mafia is lying to us about the area called medicine. We're finding out the vaccines are full of all of these witches' brew items that are not for our health. So we're being lied to on a historic level in every category imaginable. But the beautiful thing is that when you come to this message and your eyes are opened up to the simple truths, the Father opens up a way for you to find the simple truths out, and your life gets, you're blessed. You're blessed with health. You're blessed with good sleep. You're blessed with good thoughts because you know who you are. You know you're not just spinning around out here in an empty universe. I mean, that's the most asinine thing I've heard in years. Even as a child in school, I'd sit there going, how do you even conceive of something like that? You can't even wrap your arms and your logic around that concept. It's like I'm sitting on a ball in the middle of absolutely nothingness. That doesn't even make sense. Why don't we go back to what the ancients taught? Why don't we go back to what the Bible teaches? Why don't we go back to what logic says makes sense? Oh, I know why we don't want to do that. Because that points to a creator. Well, of course we can't have that. We got to be spinning around on a ball where we just happen to come into existence and some spermatozoa or bacteria or protozoa or whatever just happened to float down on this ball, and over billions of years we became into existence. I mean, you want to talk about something that requires a tremendous amount of absolute faith? That whole bogus story, you've got to really turn off your brain and go into the sheep mode to buy that story. Okay. People can call me crazy if they want, but I'm going to go back to what my ancestors believed. I'm going to go back to this is a very special spot. In fact, there were 8 scientists recently, elders who have reached retirement so they can speak their truth. 8 scientists who study the cosmos recently said, I hate to tell you folks, but the data doesn't support what they're telling you. It supports the fact that the Earth is indeed the center of whatever we're going to call this, the universe, whatever. Whatever we're on, we're at the center of it, and we're not floating around the sun, which is floating around this, which is floating around that, which is floating around billions of other that's. I mean, that's ludicrous. We are on a protected area, which is exactly what the garden means in the Hebrew, a protected area. We're here for a reason. Get used to it, people. You're being tested. Your faith is being tested. Your obedience to Yahweh is being tested because there is a hereafter. We don't know what it is. We're not supposed to know what it is. All you're supposed to do is obey the Father. Get it through your thick Israelite skulls. Your job is to obey the Father and to love Him above all things. Do you understand what all things means? You love Him above all things that you find on this earth. And that includes family, jewels, money, jobs, positions, military rank. It is above all things.
Yep. I know that there was there was a famous scientist in China that used to come to the States. I think he's a paleontologist or something. And he said the difference between the United States and China is that in China, you can question Darwin, but you can't question the government. But in America, you can question the government, but you can't question Darwin. Otherwise, you're going to be ostracized out of academia. And that's absolutely true. And this whole notion of this insanity of regarding just mere chance and Darwinian evolution and stuff, what they're telling you basically is, okay, you can't turn off your brain because you're meaningless and you don't have any purpose. And it's turning, everything is turning upside down. And the good scientists, the ones that find the glory in Yahweh's creation and natural homeopathic, cures and things, and not having to deal with these chemicals and this witchcraft that we call, you know, pharmaceutical products and stuff that are just warp your brain. It's a very interesting time, and you can see how things are turning. You can see the big move among our people and throughout the world and everything. It's an interesting time. NASA has just begun. It's just gone over the edge. They really have. I have lost all credibility with them a long time ago, and they're just a money laundering scheme for Jew. I don't know what else to say about it. It's sad.
Well, I think it's interesting that we found out that the Hebrew word that's pronounced NASA means deception.
Oh wow! Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah,
that certainly fits.
I don't have the Hebrew number from Strong's in front of me, but I could find it if anybody emails me. I'll be glad to send them the little clip that I made that explains. But NASA is an actual Hebrew, ancient Hebrew word, which is our language, not the Jews. But it's a word in our ancient language that means deception, to deceive or deception. So it's fitting that it's called NASA because it is a lie. The other acronym is Never a Straight Answer. NASA stands for Never a Straight Answer. And they don't give a straight answer because it's more of the staged actors. In fact, that brings up something interesting. I was going to ask you about it since you're a studied man and you read a lot. How come the legal community is using the word actor in many of their writings? I saw something that was posted by an attorney general or something of that order recently where they came out and said that there was a use of actors. Now, somebody tried to tell me that, oh, that's just a modern term they use for people that are involved in crime. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. They just picked this word out of the air, actor. That has a specific meaning. And what do you mean the perpetrators, the criminals are now called actors? Or could it be that many of these events literally are actors?
Oh, yeah. That's most definitely true. The guy that was a shooter at the gay nightclub in Orlando. He was an actor. You know, he was an actor. There was quite a number of them that have been exposed as actors, and they're actors if they're put by the media on the front page, because you could the things that happen with a cop getting shot or anything that kind of thing happens all the time, unfortunately, in this country. But it's whoever the media chooses to be, and they become actor. You know, they orchestrate these events just for show, and there's a difference between what's on television and reality, and unfortunately people want to think that they're the same thing and they're not. And NASA is a gigantic showpiece. I know that a lot of people in NASA were inspired to join or to become scientists for NASA because of shows like Star Trek, Star Wars, and science fiction, but it has nothing having to do with reality, you know, or the divine nature of the universe. You know, that's the one thing about the difference between astronomy and astrology is that astrology, regardless of whichever aspect you wanted to have it as, there's a divine nature to it because it's not the stars that move around; those are signs from whatever god or gods is doing things. But with astronomy, it does exactly the opposite. It tries to disprove the existence of God by micromanaging the universe and trying to reverse engineer everything. And NASA is masters at creating illusion for the public, you know, so they think that it's actually legitimate. They use props and everything, and they have little cars on, you know, supposedly on a distant planet, and you might as well be on an episode of Lost in Space. It doesn't really much matter. So this is what it's all about. This is, you know, what they're telling you that is it's you're all being lied to. It's all a matter of deception.
Well, that's just like that one guy they put on there that's supposedly a scientist, DeGrasse, the black guy. He's an actor. He's an actor. For crying out loud. He's not a scientist. This is ludicrous. It's absolutely in-your-face stupidity. By the way, if you go to BibleHub.com, the Hebrew word number there is 5378. So it's the Hebrew word 5378. You can look it up. NASA means deception or to deceive. So here again, it's just like the word pharmacy comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which is drugs used in sorcery and black magic. So these people do their dirty deeds. They put it right in our face, hoping and counting on the fact that we remain ignorant of their misdeeds and what they're up to. And praise Yahweh that by the Holy Spirit that we're led to search out a matter and figure out what our enemy's up to.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this is, you could tell that there's a bad, you know, that you cannot improve on, you know, on Yahweh's creation. You cannot alter it. You cannot, you know, you're using these things that are just trying to, just every kind of weapon against his creation, and there's going to be, he is going to be unbelievable. Everything is, it's not going to be Battle of Yorktown. It's going to turn the world upside down, as the song says. It's going to be Yahweh, and everything is, all the lies are being exposed, and it's happening just nonstop. The Hollywood actors, the shows that show The View, the dumbest people on the, you can't be that dumb and be able to walk upright. You just can't. They have to be acting. They can't be this crazy. That's kind of wishful thinking on my part, but, you know, this is the kind of thing that we're having to face. It's an amazing situation that's going on. And now it ticks me off that so many people are brain dead, but it's also exciting when I find those that are wide awake.
Right. And that's a good point, Phil, as we're getting close to the end of the program. People need to focus on the remnant. They need to focus on the sheep, and they need to focus on the wheat, not the tares. They need to focus on the sheep, not the goats. The goats, whether they're of our race or not, are not going to be here much longer. Let them go. Whether you're related to them, whether they're a neighbor, whether they're a friend, or what you think is a friend, how can they be a friend and love Babylon? I don't see anywhere in Scripture where Yahweh says that we're to walk hand in hand with the wicked, with the darkness. We're to be a light and shine against the darkness. So if members of my family, people that I know that I used to call friend, if they're part of the bundle that's going to be thrown into the fire, which is just a biblical way of saying they're not going to be around much longer, good riddance to bad rubbish. That's what I used to say when I was a kid. Good riddance to bad rubbish. It's garbage. They're trash. If they believe the Jew lie, if they think the Jews are God's chosen people, even though there isn't one modicum of righteousness in that whole group of people, not one modicum of it. If you take off the rose-colored glasses and look at them through logic and historical fact, these people are demonic. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, in his book, The Synagogue of Satan, very clearly points out they have a long history of demon activity, and yet these idiots still think that somehow they're special people. Yeah, they're special, all right. Damned to hell by Obadiah at verse 18. That's what that's for. And I think we're out of time, Phil, so I'm going to have to thank you for coming on, and we'll do this again sometime real soon.
Thank you, Daniel. It's been an absolute pleasure and a joy. And I want to say Yahweh bless to you and all of your viewers, and hail victory.
Hail victory. Yahweh bless.
Thank you.